to talk about that. Hey, welcome to church today. We are so glad you are here. Next week, we're starting off a brand new sermon series. As you saw right there, Invisible Forces, it's going to be all about the side of Christianity, so you'll want to be here. And last week, we finished a sermon series that we had been in for 6 weeks called Starting Point, and it was directed specifically at all the skeptics, doubters, intellectually curious, and irreligious people who are in our audience. So if that's you and you missed that series, you need to get online, get on the app, go back, check it out, watch, listen to the whole thing and catch up. Now, if that's you and you came to that series and you decided for some strange reason that your next step in following Jesus was to return, today and come back to church, you're like, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't belong in church, but here I am at church. Then I got to tell you, today is probably the best possible non-starting point day for you to attend church with us, because today is going to be our Love the Ville launch for the next season of our church. Every year, come about May, we stop for a moment and we take a day or a weekend or two and we just talk about where Love the Ville is as a church and where it's going for the rest of the year. And you might not even know what Love the Ville is yet. Just hold on a second. I'm getting there, right? But what you'll figure out by the end of this day is what makes our church tick, why we call ourselves the Love the Ville Church, why that piece of art is hanging over the door every single day on your way out, why this is ingrained inside of us and we give so much to it and we talk so much about it. By the end of today, you will know who this church is and you will know whether or not this is a church that you want to be able to, or that you will want to invest in long-term with your time. So now, typically in these sermons, I like at the, you know, throughout the message, kind of lay out for you what serve projects we got coming up, especially during the summer, because we do a lot of stuff during the summer, and the summertime is like, it's time when a lot of churches turn it down, but we turn it up a few degrees because Jesus' love don't take a vacation, right? And I'm going to get to those in a second, but I thought today it would be appropriate to start by just telling you the Love the Ville story and how we've gotten from where it started to where we are today. Now, here's why I really think it's important to tell that, because we've done some demographic research on our congregation over the last year or so, and we figured out that about 30 to 40% of the people sitting in our auditorium every single week have been coming to Northeast for less than 3 years. Less than 3 years, and that's cool. You know, welcome. We've got a kind of a new crowd. That means a lot of people are joining our family and our body, and we love that. But that means you probably think that Love the Ville has just been something that we do, you know, something that's been a part of us for a really, really long time. And in fact, that couldn't be further from the truth, because, check this out, 3 years ago, Love the Ville didn't exist at Northeast Christian Church. And I know that blows some of your minds who have been here for a long time, because you feel like, man, we've been doing this forever. We haven't. In fact, 3 years ago, for us, outreach was primarily international. Not local here in the Ville, but international. And we did some amazing stuff. We did amazing stuff in Ethiopia. We had missionaries all over the world. We did amazing stuff in Bolivia. I mean, we collected around $500,000 to plant 5 churches in Cochabamba, Bolivia, which is the poorest country in South America. And those churches are in partnership with Compassion International, and they double over as childcare centers throughout the week where kids can come and get fed and educated and hear about Jesus. They're insanely successful. They're growing like wildfire. We're so proud of them. But 3 years ago, we stopped and paused for a second, and we just thought, we're doing a lot overseas, but we're not doing a whole lot in the Ville. And it bothered us. It bothered us. Maybe the primary reason it bothered us is because I believe here in the United States of America today, our country needs Jesus as much, if not more, than the rest of the world. I mean, the statistics are in. They are. The United States is one of the largest unchurched countries on earth. 156 million U.S. adults and children are churchless. Churchless Americans equal a nation bigger than Canada, South Korea, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, and New Zealand combined. And churchless Americans, if they all kind of gathered together, broke off, and made their own country, would be the 8th largest country on the planet Earth. So do you think there's some opportunity right here around us? You see, this was what kind of started stirring inside of us. We were doing a lot for the world, but we had a fire in our backyard that we're trying to put out with a Dixie cup. See, this whole myth that, like the American church and the brand of Christianity we have here needs to be sending people out into the world in order to save them, all right? It's a myth that's been busted, at least in recent times, because the world doesn't need us nearly as much as we need the brand of faith that is exploding around the world right now here in our country. The church is exploding in Latin America. It's exploding in Southeast Asia. It's exploding in Africa. It's exploding in countries like Iran, where it's dangerous to be a Christian there. They have some of the fastest growing and largest churches on the planet Earth today. And praise God for that, but that's not what's happening in America. We need their brand of faith. We need their missionaries. We need their energy. We need their enthusiasm. You know what's happened in our country? We've got comfortable. Christians have just got comfortable. And you know what comfort does to Christianity? It cools it down to a lukewarm temperature. And the scriptures tell us there's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. So this was a wake-up call for us a few years ago that we had to start focusing even more of our energy here in our neighborhood, on our neighbors to our right and to our left. Now, sidebar, I just want you to know that doesn't mean we have de-emphasized or devalued international outreach at our church. In fact, for the first time in the history of our church, we have reached a kind of financial flexibility where we could hire a full-time international outreach pastor, which means we're more invested in that than ever. But we also knew that we had to invest in the Ville. So it started with a sermon series in 2014 called Just Another Church. Does anybody remember Just Another Church? A few of you in here remember that series? Yeah, it was totally unrememberable. Bob preached it, I think. But actually, I did. But in that series, we covenanted together as a church that we would not be just another church. In fact, we agreed on a few things. We agreed first that we wanted to make a difference here in the Ville. And to make a difference, we had to do something different. It takes new methods to reach new people, right? We also agreed that we were going to begin to understand the church in a much more biblical way. Because according to the scriptures, the church is not a place, it's a people. It's a movement of people ignited by the love of Jesus. Okay, this is not church, this building. What we do in here, it's not church, it's just a small fraction of the church. No, the church is you and you and him and her and you and you. Which means the church is 24/7, the church is living and breathing, the church is us. The Bible describes it in a different way. It says, according to the scriptures, the Bible says that we're the body of Jesus, the church. That's the metaphor it uses. It means we're his hands and feet. It means we're his eyes and his ears and his mouth. We're his love and his empathy and his compassion and his care in the world. We're his physical presence in the world today. I don't know if you noticed, but Jesus is gone. He died, rose from the dead, and he gone. And he said, you are now my body. You. We, you and I, are as close as anyone will get to Jesus this side of heaven. Poor Jesus, right? We're sorry. We're trying our best, right? But like that's how we have to begin thinking. It's on us. It's our responsibility. And so there was a shift that had to happen for us as a church. We also agreed that we wanted to redefine church in our city. Because, I mean, like when you say the word church, people think of something. And it's usually not the love of Jesus. And so we wanted to be a part of changing that. And so after that sermon series was over, we launched our first ever Love the Ville event in 2014 called the Clifton Blitz. Now, who participated in our first Clifton Blitz 2014? All right, now several of you out there. Cool. It was great. So what we did was instead of coming to church for a service that day, we took the church and the service to the streets on Sunday morning. We didn't gather here. We came here, we hopped on buses, and we mobilized 1,800 people to the Clifton community where our other campus is, and we showed them the love of Jesus in a tidal wave of loving acts of kindness. We beautified their streets and their parks. We gave away hundreds upon hundreds of bikes to kids who don't have bikes. It was amazing. We went to local businesses and asked them, hey, what's your checklist that you need to get done? And we helped them finish their checklists. We went to seniors and shut-ins in the community. We cleaned up their yards and cleaned up their houses. And at the end of that day, after just a few hours, 1,800 of us wiped the sweat off our brows. And you know what we realized? We realized that what we did together in that 3 hours was far more impactful on that community than 100 worship services on Sunday morning. In fact, there was this buzz that was created in the Ville because of the Clifton Blitz. Hashtag love40206, which is the Clifton zip code, trended on Twitter that day. We were trending, and there was lots of talk about it. The media was out there, you know, it was pretty neat. And we saw later that week one lady who doesn't go to our church posted this very, very interesting status about our church online. I want to read it to you. She wrote, I saw a status yesterday by my friend Kristen, who goes to Northeast, about this church. But I thought, bleh. How do you say that? How do you pronounce that? Blech? Blech. Blech. Church. I'm not kidding. With all sincerity, I thought on and off about her and how, yeah, she got a small child now. Guess she's going all in. Next time I see her, she'll have a Jesus fish on her car and she'll be trying to save me. Now, time out. Pause for a second. Because she's not done yet. All right, she's not done. But pause. I just want you to notice something. Sadly, That is her definition of church. Church. Until we came into the Clifton community that day, 1,800 strong, and we disrupted her definition. Because look at what she wrote next. She wrote, "I feel like a word we don't use in church. Check out what these people did yesterday. That's what God is." And she's right. That is what the Christian God is. He is love. And we showed him love. My favorite part about that weekend was that after we were done, the number one feedback we got from our congregation was a question. When are we doing it again? When are we doing it again? When are we doing it again? So we came back in May 2015, and we launched an entire summer full of Love the Ville projects. You'll remember some of these. They were all so amazing. One of my favorite things was that we started pushing you guys to do your own DIY projects in your own neighborhoods, because you just started catching this Love the Ville spirit and seeing needs right down the street, seeing needs in your next door neighbor's home, seeing needs at your kids' schools. And so we were like, hey, you don't need us. You're the church, right? So go and meet those needs. At the end of that summer, we had served 10,000 hours as a church, and we started the Love the Ville hashtag, so I got to see a lot of your stories, and I started writing them down over the course of the summer, and I made this list, and it's become a favorite thing of mine. I keep this list on my desk, on my computer, and sometimes I just pull it out and read it just to remind myself of what a church, just a group of people like us, is capable of when we get our eyes focused on Jesus and we just start loving like he loved. Here's what some of the things you guys did this summer, or that summer was. One, we went to Eastern Cemetery and beautified its forgotten 30 acres on Memorial Day. We went to Shawnee with the Fuller Center and built homes for military veterans and the poor. We went to Frankfort Avenue and we planted and painted and weeded and gave away hundreds of bikes for the Clifton Blitz. We went to Chancey Elementary, Breckenridge Franklin, LaGrange Elementary, and Westport Tap School, our four partners at the time, and we knocked off their to-do list to get them ready for school. We went and served at the Oldham Clinic. We cut our neighbors' lawns. We handed out ice cream at bus stops. We gave free clothes away to newborn babies of inmates. We gave snack packs to construction teams and sausage biscuits to our unsuspecting friends. We gave away quarters at laundromats. We tipped our waitresses extra good, even though sometimes they didn't deserve it. And we packed clothes for refugees before it was cool to serve refugees. We visited widows that lived next door. We hosted neighborhood movie nights. We built relationships with homeless guys who lived near our houses. We took treats to animal shelters and sweets to our fire stations. We served local mosques. We landscaped the yard of a single mom with cancer. We volunteered at youth soccer camps. We served meals at the VOA and Family Emergency Center. We started a backpack ministry for recovering addicts, and it's become a nonprofit on its own today. We gave over 2,000 wings away to 500 U of L college students, and yes, they ate them all. In fact, we had to buy 20 more pizzas to feed them all. And our elementary kids packed 20,000 meals to be sent to Haiti. And I'm not done. I knew you'd okay, I was going to take a breath. I knew you'd start clapping, so let me keep going. We collected clothes for the Metro Corrections Backpack Project, which helps inmates get off to a good start. We held a faith forum here so that we might better understand and be able to love our Muslim neighbors. We bought coffee for the person in line behind us, Chick-fil-A, Christian chicken, for the person in line behind us. We even got a haircut for the person in line behind us. One guy at our church took money and taped it to the wall of the grocery store and then just watched, between the cereal. He watched just because he wanted to see people smile as they found money on the wall. What grocery was it at, I didn't see that. We stained porches, built retaining walls for our neighbors. We cut wood so a local elementary or local middle school could do an art project. We built dressers for single moms, stocked backpacks for every single student in all of our partner schools, which is over 2,000 students, and we gave away a car. And that's just all the ones I saw. It's just a tip of the iceberg. We realized at the end of the summer in 2015 that Love the Ville was an uncontrollable fire. And as a leadership core, we just had to step back and say, we're just going to throw gas on it. That's all we know how to do. Me and Bob stepped on stage that December, and we said, we want to make Love the Ville 2016 better than ever. But we don't have the funds to do it at this point. So here's what we're going to do. On one day, Christmas Eve, we're going to collect a one-time offering above and beyond what you normally give. And whatever you give, that's what we'll push into Love the Ville 2016. And you guys remember what you gave in that first Love the Ville Eve offering? It's $250,000. And so we came back, and 2016 was the best Love the Ville year we had yet. In fact, it was so ingrained in many of your hearts that you began to see needs to meet and people to love and causes to take on for Jesus outside of the scope of what we were doing as a church. So you started coming to us and saying, hey, there's this need or there's this person or this cause. What should I do about it? Because the church doesn't have any opportunities to meet it. And you know what we said? You're the church. Go meet it. In fact, I remember last May, we challenged our church to begin starting organic ministries. Because if God's calling you to do something in this city, who are we as the church leadership to stand in the way? Okay, you may be much more talented and have a much bigger vision than we ever could, so go. Get. We'll help you. We'll equip you. But get on to it and start doing God's work. And a year later, we have started over, this is all we know about. I know there's more out there. We have over 30 organic ministries operating because of Love the Ville. We have ministries for addicts, the poor. We have a bike ministry, single moms ministry, foster care ministry, adopt-a-block ministry, a ministry for seniors, a ministry for college students, the homeless, a ministry in Portland, ministry for the impoverished kids in our partner schools. We even have a sandwich ministry that a high schooler in our church decided to start in his small group. They get together every week, make sandwiches, and take them downtown, give them away to the same guys. And on and on and on it could go. Oh, yeah, and then we came back at the end of 2016 in December, took another Love the Ville Christmas Eve offering up, and you know how much that one was for this year? It was a little over $300,000. So, it's. I've been at this church for 5 years now. It's going to be 5 years on June 1st. And in 5 years, really specifically the last 3 years, you know what I've learned about you people? Y'all are crazy. Y'all are crazy, and I love it because it's crazy in all the right ways. In fact, I'm a little bit crazy, and so I wouldn't fit in a church that wasn't a little bit crazy themselves. Like, if you think Tyler's not that crazy, I'm doing a good job of hiding it up here, but you probably don't think that, right? Y'all are crazy, and I love it. I love it. One of my favorite things to do over the past couple months has just been to sit down and think back at where we were in 2014 and then how far we've come now to 2017. I came up with 8 data points for you that I think might be interesting. Over the last 3 years, we went from 0 Love the Ville staff to 3. We went from $0 in the Love the Ville budget to $500,000 this year, and that is a significant amount of our income, you need to understand, but we think it's worth it. For 2 years now, as you heard, we've collected over $500,000 on Christmas Eve for Love the Ville. We merged with the Clifton Christian Church in 2014 to make one church, 2 locations, and then we injected that Love the Ville DNA into that church, and because of that, they've grown 20% the last year. We went from 1 partner school to 7 and growing. We have over 30 organic ministries that we've identified, lay led, and lay funded. Almost every Northeast regular has participated in a Love the Ville event over the last 3 years, and check this out. In 2014, we averaged around 2787 as a church, and that was kind of a flat line for us because we had been there for around 7 years. And yet, over the last 3 years, as the Love the Ville train has started to get chugging forward, more and more people have started joining our family. And year to date this year, we are at over 3,700 people. Like, we've added 600, 700, 800 new people to our gathering because of what we're doing in the community. And I don't tell you those numbers just for the sake of numbers. I tell you those numbers because every one of those numbers, it's a name. And every name has a story. And every story matters to God and deserves the love of Jesus. God's great love meeting Louisville's great need for us. That's what we've been about for 3 years. And I believe God's blessing that in profound ways. It's been really fun because all of a sudden churches are starting to pick up the phone from all across the country and call us and say, we've heard about Love the Ville. How can we take your DNA and start it in our city? So we're getting to start Love the Ville movements across the country. We just sent 2 of our interns to Boston. They're going to start Love the Ville in a church there. We've had a church from Dayton and Cincinnati on site. We had a church from North Carolina on site. It's been amazing. And so that's caused us to kind of have to collect our thoughts and boil them down to like irreducible minimums, so we can send them back out into their community to take our DNA with them. So here are like the 3 kind of key points of Love the Ville that I think make Love the Ville work. And you've heard me talk about these before in different contexts, but I just wanted to remind you of all of them in this context today. The first key is you. It's you. You make this great. Why? Because you take personal responsibility to be the church. I haven't seen many groups of people quite like you. You just get it. The get it factor is high. You get the fact that the preacher don't make the church, the people make the church. The church isn't a place. It's not a building. It's not a service. No, it's a people who've been given a purpose to go and show the love of Jesus to the world. And I'm so thankful for you. You know, there are so many church leaders that would love to take the heart of this congregation and put it in their church's heart. And you know what? Love the Ville, like this kind of movement will never work in a church until the church gets this. The church gets that, like, I've got to make my faith my own and I got to live it. And you guys do. And I'm thankful for you. I wouldn't trade you for any church in the world. Well, actually, no, I'm kidding. I'm going to change you. No. Second, relationships. We prioritize relationships first. First, we build relationships first. Now, you know what the number one form of relational currency is? It's trust. Relationships need trust. And usually how much trust you share with someone is how good that relationship's going to be. And you know what builds trust? Love. Love. So at the end of the day, if we're going to build the trust that builds the kind of relationships that we get to speak truth into and press Jesus into, then we're going to have to love people, right? You're not going to be heard until you earn the right to be heard. And so we're just committed. We're committed to love. Sometimes it's a slow process, but that's how it is in our culture. You know where a lot of churches get it wrong in our culture? Here's where the hell they get it wrong. They try to evangelize people. And you get what I'm saying? I'm not against evangelism. Evangelism's all good. I'm against evangelism. Preach the gospel. Turn or burn. Hell's hot. Can you smell the sulfur? Like, you've heard people like this before. And in my humble opinion, that may have worked in another day and age, but that don't work anymore. People roll their eyes and move on. And if you do convert somebody like that, it's not because you've shown them the love of God. It's because you've quite literally scared the hell into them. So we've just decided to make love not a means to the end of evangelism. No, we've just decided to make love the end, because that's what Jesus said it was. I got two great commandments for you, disciples. Love God and love others. If you get that right, everything else will be all right. And so that's just what we do. And you know what? If our love never converts another person, like it never brings one person to Jesus for the rest of my life, I'll be fine with it if we commit ourselves to love, because at least we'll have honored God. But you know what we're finding out? The more committed to love we are, the more people that join this movement and the more people that surrender to Jesus because they want to be a part of it. There is something irresistible about his love. Now, even though we've started a love movement, though, it's kind of crazy. We got haters, man. Like, you would think that a church that's so loving would, you know, like, elicit love in return, but we still have a lot of haters. We noticed on one of our social media posts not long ago about Love the Ville that there was this anonymous, like, internet troll, you know what I mean, who, like, created an account, I think just to troll us, and they posted this on our Love the Ville post. They said, hey, does Northeast preach the gospel or just community activism? You know, really good. So this is what our social media director, how they responded. I love it. She put both. You should come and join us sometime. And when I read that, you know what I thought to myself? I thought to myself, she deserves a raise, you know? We didn't give her one, but she deserved one. But no, I thought to myself, man, when you lead and love like Jesus, you'll get attacked by the Pharisees. You will. But that doesn't change the core maxim of our church. We love everyone, always, especially the hurting, and now even the haters, because hate is going to hate, right? So third, insane generosity. That's the last key. We exceed expectations every single time with our love, with our time, with our money, with our energy. No matter what the ask is, we always go above and beyond it, and I'm thankful for that. And if you're new here, let me just tell you, just to be very, very clear, there is a reason why we do all this. All right, and if you need clarity, go look at the light bulb wall after the service. Jesus is why. Jesus' best friend John writes it like this, and it sums up Love the Ville perfectly. 1 John 4:19, we love each other because he first loved us. And it's really that simple. Now, I could go on bragging about you guys all day long, but we ain't got the time for that. And I want to lay out for you some of the amazing serve opportunities that are coming up. So with the rest of our time here, let me tell you what's coming up this summer. Like, most churches turn it down during the summer. We like to turn it up during the summer because Jesus' love never sleeps, okay? So let me give you a few different serve opportunities. We've broken them down into levels. Each level is an increasing commitment. And we expect that each level will elicit less, like as you move into increasing commitment, there will be less people that commit. But that's okay. Just kind of follow with us. First, our level one opportunities are opportunities to serve once. They're great for those of you who've never served in Love the Ville with us before, and we need a maximum amount of you as possible to serve in these because they're biggies. The first one's Clifton Blitz 4.0. It'll be the fourth time we go back to the Clifton community. You can go to the next slide. It's on June 24th, Saturday morning, and we need hundreds. We need hundreds for that. The Clifton community now gets excited about the fact we're coming back, and I hope you're as excited to go back and revisit some of those relationships and help them out. It's where our other campus is. Now, the second one I'm really excited about this year, it's our School Blitz 3.0, and it's on August 6th, which is a Sunday morning. Which means, just like we did 3 years ago, we're not going to come to church for a service. We're going to take the church and the service to the streets, and we're going to blitz not one school, not four schools like we did the first time, not 13 schools like we did last year the second time. No, this year we are going to blitz 31 public elementary schools in our community. 31. And you clap now, but you know what the dream is? The dream is to someday blitz every elementary school in both Oldham and Jefferson County. And don't tell me God can't do it, all right? Because he can. And he just will. I can see it, man. Now, let me tell you the strategy behind these 31 schools. What we noticed last year was that the schools of the 13 that had the most people show out to serve were the schools where we had the most kids attending from our church. Because what would happen was parents of the kids who attended that school from our church would start inviting community members, like other parents that had kids in that school, to come serve with them. You follow me? It may not have been families that go to our church, but it was families of their school that their kid attended at. They would invite them out. We had some schools that had doubled the servers show up because people had just invited friends to come serve the school with them. So we went on the database this year, and we found every public elementary school with at least two of our families in it. And we wrote them a letter, told them that we wanted to come and blitz, and these are the 31 that responded, and there's still a few pending. Now, to make this work, here's what we need. One, we need you to save the date. Save the date. You can sign up for Clifton Blitz today. I'd encourage you to. The sign-ups for the School Blitz aren't ready yet, so save the date. Go ahead and pull your phone out, August 6th. You were going to be in church anyways, right? Okay, yeah, you were going to be in church anyway, so come on out that day and serve with us. And two, if you have a kid in one of these schools, or have had a kid in one of these schools, or have like a special connection to one of these schools, I want you to go ahead and circle that school in your mind as the one you're going to serve at, and I want you to begin inviting your friends outside of this church to come serve with you. Because I want to see Love the Ville become a community movement. I want to see people plug in to Jesus' love revolution before they even know Jesus, because what a better way for them to meet him, right? So let's invite folks in. I would love to see 2,000 Northeast people show up to serve that day and another 500 to 1,000 community people. So can we do it? Yes, we can. I think we can. So bring it that day. All right, those are our level one. Those are our level one opportunities. Let's jump to level two. These are ongoing serve opportunities, and there will be many out in the lobby after the service is over with. You can go check all these out. PB&J is homeless ministry, Mom's Closets for single moms, Heart Hats, Comfort Coverage. They sew for people who are sick, Trikes for Tykes, a bike ministry, Eastern Cemeteries, a ministry that keeps that cemetery clean in Clifton, and the BODI is an organ donation ministry. So just go, if you're looking for something to plug into on a regular basis, I'm sure we've got something for you. Go out there to the level two tent in the lobby after the service is over and check it out. Now, here's the one I really want to highlight for you today. It's our partner school summer reading program. It's brand new. We're launching it just for this summer, so it'd be a 3-month, about once a week commitment. But here's where it came from. Our partner schools picked up the phone and they called us up and they said, hey, we have noticed that the children in our elementary schools who don't have a parent or guardian at home reading with them on a regular basis, specifically reading with them from the end of the school year to the beginning of the next school year through the summer, fall behind all the other kids. And they are 33% less likely to graduate high school and 50% less likely to get into college, all because they don't have someone reading with them. So we said, great, we'll start a summer reading program. And they said, well, here's the only problem. Those same kids that don't have a guardian or parent reading to them are the same kids that don't have a ride to get to the reading program at school. So we said, look, man, we'll pray about it. Give us some time. We'll think about it. If God's for us, who can be against us? And so we've come up with a solution. Do you want to know what the solution is? It's very exciting. Drum roll, please. It's very exciting. Ready? We decided to buy a trailer. Yeah! You guys are cheering. You don't even know what the trailer's for yet. Okay? Calm down. Hold your horses. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to take Love the Ville stickers. We're going to put it on the side of the trailer. We're going to go inside the trailer, totally upfit it, renovate it. We're going to redo the floor, put floor lighting, ceiling lighting. We're going to put chalkboard walls on the side of it. We're going to build reading stations inside of the trailer. We're going to put AC inside the trailer. And we're going to take the summer reading program on the road to target neighborhoods where we know we have a maximum amount of kids from our partner school who need someone to love them. Because the love of Jesus goes to the people who needs it. right? That's just what it does. Now, here's the even cooler thing. We knew it was going to be about a 10 to 15K expense to buy this and upfit this. And we were like, that's okay. Our people gave a lot of money for Christmas Eve for stuff just like this. But a mom in our church caught wind of it. A mom who had a third grader who struggled with reading. And so she said, we had to go to extraordinary lengths to catch my baby up. So I don't want you guys to have any barriers. She pulled out her checkbook and she was like, $15,000. Handed over to us. Isn't that cool? Oh, and, okay. And can I just say to the men of the room, I've noticed since I've been here about 70 to 80% of the anonymous donations come from women. Now, hey, it's not a competition. It's not a competition, but if that gets at your ego a little bit, do something about it. All right. Now, to pull this off, we need two things. One, we need readers. If you're willing to read. Okay, if you're willing to give like an hour of your week, and we know you got vacation and weddings and stuff like that, we'll navigate around that for you, all right? If you're willing to read, go out to the Level 2 tent, find our summer reading program and sign up. And we need dudes with trucks. Dudes with trucks, calling all dudes with trucks. If you're a dude with a truck, beep, beep, like we need you to drive the trailer around for us. If you can give us a day, if you can give us a month, if you can give us one day a week, like, okay, God gave you a truck for a reason. Let's use it for Jesus, all right? I know there are dudes with trucks because I see the attire you come walking into church with, and it's like, I'm a dude with a truck. Okay, so like, just like sign up and help let us use your truck. All right, third and last, but most certainly not least, and again, you can sign up for that reading program at the Level 2 tent. But third, we have an opportunity for anybody in here who's thinking about starting their own organic ministry to talk to the folks in our church who have. They'll be under the Level 3 tent. And if God's been like stirring inside of you, breaking your heart for a place or a group or a people in our city, you know what that's called in Christian speak? That's called conviction. And the only way to get the conviction to shut up is obedience. So I'm just encouraging you, man. Hey, the thrill of obedience feels a whole lot better than the pain of conviction. So step up and just answer God. We've got folks out there to talk to. All right, to close, what I want to do is I want to call three organic ministries up here real quick. Can I have the reps from Mom's Closet, PB&J, and the Workout for Water at Iron Tribe come up? Mom's Closet, come on up. Yeah, come on. Come on, Laura. Come on, Ogles. Come on, Aaron. And we're going to get to do today for them what we love to do as a church. As they're walking up, let me tell you about Mom's Closet. It was started 13 years ago by a lady in our church, and since then it has become one of our one of our favorite partners. What they are is they are a resource center for single moms in our community, and they just do whatever it takes to get these single moms on track. They pay for tuition sometimes. They plug them into their food pantry. They get them a life coach. And this year, at their annual fundraising event, we committed to give Mom's Closet $2,400 in order to support and sponsor one mom this year. But we don't like to do anything halfway, right? We like to exceed expectations. So we got to surprise them last night and tell them that we are not giving them $2,400, but rather $4,800 this year to support two mamas. And we're glad to do it. And we want those moms to know that even if nobody else in the community cares about them, then of course you guys do, but there is a church out here at Northeast Christian Church who does as well. So we love you guys. Thank you. Now next is PB&J. Come on over here, Ogles. Come on over here, Ogles. PB&J was started 11 years ago by somebody at our church. It's a homeless ministry for guys downtown. For $100, they feed 150 guys a week. Now the problem for PB&J right now, though, is that they have recently lost one of their big donors who helped them get a good deal and provided all the peanut butter, all the jelly, all the food for their sacked lunches. So they're in a little bit of a bind. So we get to present to them this week $1,000, $1,000. We love you guys. And that should last them 10 weeks. That should be 10 weeks of provision to get them through the summer. And the real reason why I wanted to bring them up here was to say that there is somebody in this congregation today, maybe several somebodies, that have the kind of connections and networks, connections with food vendors, restaurants, whatever it may be, to come alongside PB&J long-term and become their new partner or their new partner. So I'm telling you, I'm asking you, step up. God gave you your influence and your space and place in life for a reason. So step up and leverage it for him. They'll be out at the Level 2 tent if you want to go talk to them more about it. All right, last but certainly not least, Aaron from Iron Tribe. So Iron Tribe Fitness is a gym that is literally our neighbor. Like they're right there on the corner next to us. And Aaron has been attending our church for over a year. She's one of the sharpest young leaders I've met since coming to Louisville. Now, for the 3 years now, we have partnered with Iron Tribe in hosting a Workout for Water a one-day event during the summer. It's on June 16, right? 17. I'll be there at it, so I'll know when I show up. It's June 17 here on our campus. And basically, if you're a fitness junkie, I would challenge you, come on out. What we do is we work out together that day, and we raise a bunch of money in order to plant clean water wells in third world villages. Now, they set a goal of $17,000 this year. And in the past, Northeast hasn't really provided a lot of financial support for our neighbor. And for the people at our church over there who are trying to take this this amazing place and use it to be an externally focused arm of compassion out in the world today. We just kind of provided space for them to come do the workout. So I thought we need to change that this year. So I'm proud today to present the workout for water and Iron Tribe with a check for $4,500 from your neighbor, because we're good neighbors, all right? And $4,500 actually purchases a well. That's a well. So we will plant a clean water well in partnership with one of our neighbors down the street this year. And that's the best news I've heard all week. Now, okay, check this out real quick. I just got to tell you. So I joined Iron Tribe like in the past week or two, and it's kind of funny. I knew I was gonna we were gonna do this today at church. So I went up to Erin. She didn't know. I was like, hey, I'm gonna raise some money for you guys. I'm gonna really help you, but. I need some incentives along the way. So how much money would I have to raise for all the coaches at Iron Tribe to do, 400 or 500 burpees? And she's like, $500. And I was like, okay. How about Warren over there? Warren's one of the coaches. He doesn't have a church home, right? Right, Warren? And Warren's like, nope, no church home. Warren, how much money will I have to raise for you to come to church 2 weeks at Northeast? And he's like, $500. So Warren, if you're watching today, see you next week. And and I even asked him, I was like, hey, I know you guys do this tomatillos, like clean tomatillo salsa here. That's amazing, by the way. I could drink it. I said, how much money do I got to raise to get a gallon of that tomatillo? And I think that was $5,000. So I'm almost there for that, but I'll start taking my my collections in installments of small Tupperware starting next week, okay? Cool? No, can you give them a hand? Give them a hand. We're so proud of them. Thank you, guys. Erin, you sure you don't want to hit some of those burpees on stage for you? Okay. Let me close. We're over time. Let me close by saying this, and I've said this before. I am surrounded, I'm confident of it, I'm surrounded by one of the most generous groups of people on the planet Earth. I am. And you want to know why? If you're new here, I'll tell you why. Jesus is why. And I believe God is blessing that. God is blessing this church right now because we are living self-sacrificial, generous, open-handed lives of love. 2014, 15, and 16 were three of the best years in our church's history. In fact, 2016 was perhaps the best year. We broke all the records. We shattered all the goals. We exceeded all expectations. And it was a transition year when all the experts scared the heck out of me and Bob, telling us that you guys are going to experience a storm as the baton is handed off. But no storm has come, y'all. We didn't just survive that year. We thrived through that year. And I think the best is still yet to come. So I want to close today with the question. Are we done? Like, was that it? Are we done? You know, was 2016 the summit of the mountain that Northeast Christian Church was supposed to climb, and 2017 the descent back down into normalcy and mediocrity? Are we done? Or are we? Okay. Amen. See, you know what I think? I think the lid to our growth, our health, and our momentum will always be our willingness to sacrifice. And so I hope we aren't done. In fact, you know what I hope? I hope we're only just getting started. So church, let's get to work. Let's get to work. Because love works, and there's still a whole lot of love to be given and a whole lot of need in this city. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be a part of your purpose and mission in the world. Continue to bless this church with the talent and the resources and the time that you have blessed us with, and I promise you we will continue to give it right back to you. Make us bold, make us courageous, give us a vision of the cross daily so we can live like the cross. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Wasn't that awesome this morning? Wasn't that great? Hey, you're going to see some amazing opportunities out in the lobby that Tyler's been talking about. I want to just draw your attention to two more real quickly. If you're visiting today, we're thrilled that you've been here with us. We'd love for you to take just a moment on your way out and stop at the guest kiosk. We'd love to get to know you a little better. Also, we have the fireside room. You go out in the lobby and turn left. Great place for you to come and talk to somebody about your spiritual journey. You saw some people take the step of baptism today, maybe to talk about that. Maybe you just need somebody to pray with you. We'd love to do that in a fireside room. I hope you'll join us there. Thanks for being here this morning. Have a great weekend.